Thank you so much, John, for joining the We Don't Play podcast show today. How are you?
Not too bad at all, and I'm coming from, well, I think you guys referred to it, down under.
You know, it's so interesting that you are a day ahead of us, and someone's probably listening to this and they're like, oh, I wonder what day that is. You know, it's such a beautiful thing to see how life is like, it's like we're in a big world, but it's also a very small world too.
It is, isn't it? And of course, down under in Australia, we have the joke with you Americans, because I've got a lot of American friends, that if there was a horse race, we can tell you who won because it's already the next day. You can put your money on the right horse.
Exactly. Oh, man, it's so amazing to have you here with us all the way from Australia. We really appreciate your time. And we can't wait to hear, you know, how you've been able to help businesses across the world, you know, just understand the value of marketing tactics, especially for business owners. Because, you know, as you know, when a business starts creating from ideation phase to formulation to execution, you know, to scaling, all there are going to be a lot of roadblocks in between. And most times entrepreneurs don't get past the first year or the third year or even get to the seventh year as an IPO. So how would you tell someone, and just by your introduction and letting them know who you are, would they put that into place and actually put themselves in your shoes and see how that can help them make a next step better?
Yeah, so true. So the interesting thing is that most businesses, small businesses, I believe don't really give enough credence to marketing. They are very good technicians because they went to college and they learned how to be a dentist or how to be a carpenter or how to be a florist or whatever it may be. And they turn out to be very, very good technicians. But I can tell you there's a lot of medical centers where the waiting room is empty because the 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 doctors who are in that medical center have learned how to be a very good technician, but they haven't learned how to attract sick people into their waiting room. And it's all about, you know, marketing. The whole thing is all about marketing. And I, just before we started the podcast, I was telling you that, you know, if I was a butcher, I would make sure that I've got a barbecue or sausage sizzle outside my butcher shop each day, because I'd know that as people were walking past, they would taste the sausages and then hopefully they'd come in. And it would be a little bit like handing out calamari samples outside a seafood store. And it's just amazing that most businesses just are very good technicians, but they don't recognize that marketing can be the big difference between them and the guy down the road.
There's a lot to unpack there, because I started thinking about businesses, malls, Times Square, you know, big places where people interact and actually have a daily activity going on, and they don't realize that they're being marketed to just because they don't see it as marketing, and yet that's what they do. How can we demystify this for them?
Very good point. I get asked the question all the time, what's most important, building a brand or what I refer to as direct response marketing, and that's putting an ad on Facebook today and, you know, getting the results after that. And I said both. I mean, we buy Kellogg's because of the brand. You know, we buy Toyota motor vehicle because of the brand, and so on and so forth. But most businesses that are doing south of $1 million turnover don't have the money to build the brand. They can't sponsor the NFL sporting team. They can't sponsor the Olympics. They just don't have that money to build up the brand equity. I'm not saying for a moment that they should ignore building their brand. It's just they don't tend to have the budget to, you know, build their brand and wait for people to come. And so we tend to specialize in what we call direct response marketing. So when you say, you know, Times Square and you see all these wonderful logos and so forth around, they're mainly, probably 99% of those are huge, massive businesses who can build their brand by sponsoring the Olympics or you know, a footy team. But for most of us, my view is that, you know, you need to be able to put a dollar into Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever it may be. You can put a dollar in today and get $2 out of it tomorrow. Most of my clients, they want a miracle. They want me to be David Copperfield. They want me to be able to show them direct response marketing, notwithstanding that they think they've got a nice brand, but they don't have the money to build that brand. So they want me to provide them with food on the table tomorrow. So hence, I mean, our business is called The Institute of Wow. And, you know, as the name infers, it's all about wow factor marketing. And wow factor marketing in terms of direct response marketing is very, very measurable.
I feel like there is a disconnect between how they get into business and what they learn about marketing their business. Because I would just think about like a regular, like mom and pop shop. They set it up, they know the address, but they forget that they need to put on Google Maps, something as simple as that. Not that it's not common knowledge, but it's not really the first point of action if you don't know how to even begin that process, you know?
You are spot on, Faber, because the other thing that I just touched on when we were having a chat before the podcast recording is that it just amazes me, and I'm not having a shot at small businesses because I know they've got so much, you know, on their shoulders, but it does amaze me how marketing generally gets put to the back of the queue. Because a lot of people find it daunting, you know, with AI around these days, it's probably, you know, becoming a little bit easier, but by the same token, even AI itself is daunting to a lot of small businesses. They just don't understand it. I have to say that, you know, really at the end of the day, my view in terms of the marketing of small businesses is very simple, and that is identify your target audience's problem and just provide them with the solution. So we call it problem solution marketing. And the corny version of that, the really corny version of that, are your TV infomercials. So whether it's the Ab Swing or a weight loss program, when you see morning TV commercials, look, a lot of them are corny. You know, right now you get two for one. However, that is the essence of direct response marketing. It doesn't have to be corny like that, but what it should be is highlighting their problem, aggravating that problem, and then providing them with the solution. So if it was Jenny Craig weight loss program, it would be, are you feeling overweight and, you know, you're not feeling good about yourself, you're not feeling healthy? Well, guess what? Spring or summer is just around the corner. Do you want to look good in your swimsuit? And then, of course, you promote the weight loss program, and all of a sudden, within a period of 2 or 3 months, you show the before and after. You show the lady going from not being healthy to all of a sudden looking like a supermodel, okay? And it's called, you know, problem solution marketing. And you know what? 97% of small businesses don't do it.
Whew. I feel like if I take what you just said and let's say just morph it into a different business industry or model, I would look at it as doing a case study on yourself and telling people, this is where I was when I started and this is where I am now. And that is done a lot on LinkedIn, especially if people paid attention to those things, because people want to see the growth. Even though it was 1% growth, it's better than 0%. That's nothing. So I feel like a lot of people don't do that majorly because of the fear of the unknown and also the imposter syndrome. Is there a way someone can balance that equation without feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah, by using third-party comments. I'm going to show off here, so this is a show-off alert, okay, or boastful alert. But some years ago, I had a client in Australia that was a building society, virtually a bank, but they were a challenger brand. And that challenger brand means that they were not the Wells Fargo bank, okay? They weren't one of the big four or five banks in Australia. They were still quite big. They were the 250th biggest business in Australia, but they weren't like the Coca-Cola brand. And so I said to them, if you're a challenger brand, then you need to do things differently. You need to challenge. And so therefore, instead of price discounting, in other words, our interest rate is 6.4%, but this month is 6.5%, and then the Wells Fargo bank's going to just, in 5 minutes, be 6.4%. So it's a race to the bottom.
Right.
I said, why don't you stop your honeymoon rate? Because most of the banks will give you a home loan, but give you a 1% honeymoon rate for the first 12 months. And then the rate would go up once they've got you on board, of course. I said, instead of doing that, why don't you offer a free vacation? And I was doing a TV commercial campaign at the time for a wholesale travel company. So we got a $5,000 vacation for, let's say, 2.5, or we got a $10,000 vacation for 5. So I introduced them. And we put together a campaign which basically said, get a home loan and get a free vacation. It went nuts. We're talking about in the first 2 years, they took an extra $15 billion, not million, but $1 billion in home loans. And this idiot who you're talking to, Faber, didn't charge a percentage of the increase in home loans. I charged a consultancy fee.
Wow.
If I was sensible enough, I said to my wife, if I was sensible enough, I don't know why anyone employs me because I am a complete idiot. If I had if I had charged 0.00001% of the increase, then I wouldn't have gone to Hawaii. I would have bought Hawaii. So this thing went nuts. It went absolutely crazy. Now, what I do on LinkedIn and other platforms is, can you imagine the senior management of that company patting me on the back and giving me some nice compliments? Well, I captured all of that for usage of promoting me over the years. But it gets one step better. I actually, 3 or 4 years into what was a 10-year campaign, I got Jerry Seinfeld to do all the ads for me. Okay, wow. So I flew over backwards and forwards to New York, and he lives in the Hamptons. We found an empty shop in a little town near where Jerry lived called Cedarhurst, and we filled that empty shop with a Greater Building Society from Australia, okay? And I would fly backwards and forwards, and Jerry would stand outside the Building Society, which of course it was just a prop, and he would do a gazillion TV commercials for me. So we put that on in Australia. When you put Jerry Seinfeld next to a free vacation, it just went through the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what I did when I was there? And I'd go backwards and forwards for three years. I said to Jerry, what do you think of this? He said, I think it's unbelievable. I mean, what a very clever tactic to attract people to, you know, buy a product or service, give them a free vacation. And I said, well, is there any chance you could maybe stand next to me and tell me how good I am? And that's what Jerry did. Now, I've milked the daylights out of that forever. So any headline that I've got promoting my webinar or a podcast or anything is, come and listen to the guy that Jerry Seinfeld said was the best marketing guy in the world. So therefore,
wow.
You know what I said to him, Faber? I said to him, look, Jerry, you don't have a website at the moment. And he didn't. This was some years back. He has now. And he said, why would I need a website, John? He said, I've looked at your website. I'm on there more than you.
Oh, man, that is a beautiful story. Thank you so much for just giving us that highlight, because this is why I love the podcast, because you find gems and stories that you'll never find elsewhere. And, you know, put in a book, put in a podcast, you have to listen to get it. If you don't get it, you'll never know it was there. And I appreciate you for bringing that up, because that got me thinking, and I'm like, you know, businesses that thrive, especially entrepreneurs who have this solo mentality, it's a big thing that causes, you know, redundancy. That's the word I'm looking for, because they don't really know how to move ahead of where they already are, just because of where they're, you know, facing a challenge or two. They're not able to go through that. And one thing that I came to learn just being a six-figure owner now is the moment you realize that you need a team is when you switch gears. And I didn't realize that till I had to make that switch myself, because I had to be doing my own businesses. As you know, we talked about it earlier, I was doing it on my own, and I'm like, yeah, I wear different hats, I can design, I can do all these things, but nobody cares about that. And what they care about is the result, and did it work?
Yeah.
And if you can get someone else to do it better than you in a faster time, then build your team that way. And that's what made me think outside the box, and now delegation became that new elevation. So if you look at business owners listening to this podcast and they don't have a team right now, even if it's one or two or three, or even if it's AI, something that is at least giving them trading their time for money, what would you tell them that would elevate or just give them that push?
Yeah, great question, Faber. I've got six millennial children, okay? So my wife, Gail, and myself, we've had a busy household. We've got six children, and when they were younger, you can imagine, the car was pretty noisy.
Wow.
And we thank the Lord above for McDonald's Happy Meals, because it kept the kids quiet in the back of the car quite often. I think I gave McDonald's. And these days, we basically preach Happy Meal toys, so that's the reason this comes top of mind. We have a lot of package promotions whereby we call it incentive-based marketing. So we provide businesses with incentives that they can give to customers when somebody buys a product or service. Okay, so I took the essence of that banking promotion, and we partnered with a travel company out of Orlando, would you believe, and they get access to unsold hotel rooms around the world. And these hotels are happy to give up tonight's hotel room, because if it's empty, there's nothing more perishable than that. They can't sell that tomorrow. So outside of school vacation periods, we get these hotel rooms in Orlando and Las Vegas and San Diego and Grand Canyon and Cancun and, you know, Europe and all sorts of places for free. And we package them up and we give them to businesses for less than $50 for a vacation. So, for example, a vacation in Vegas, it might be a three-night vacation, would normally be worth $1,000. We give that 3 nights to a business for less than $50, and they give that away as a happy meal toy. That's why this is coming up, to attract people to buy their products or services. So basically they say, look, buy my refrigerator, and instead of a price discount, which of course takes your brand down to the basement, so instead of a price discount, we'll give, they don't say that, they just say, buy my refrigerator and I'll give you a free vacation to Vegas or Orlando, wherever it might be. It just goes nuts because the business is getting that vacation for less than $50, but it's valued at about $1,000, okay? There's a few restrictions. You can't go at Christmas time and Easter because obviously this is based on the hotels when they've got empty rooms. Right. But outside the school vacation periods, which is about 40 weeks a year, it's a pretty sexy offer, right? Now, the reason I tell you that story is because the advice that I would give to any business owner who is in a very, what we call a me too industry. In other words, it's very similar to all of the competitors, like a solar panel on the roof of a home. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that solar industry is very much me too. Everyone looks the same.
Right.
But my advice to those businesses is to always look for something that's going to distinguish them, something. And what we believe is the way to distinguish your products or your services is what we call giving away an incentive. So it's incentive-based marketing. And we refer to that as what Kellogg's have been doing in their cereal boxes for 50 years. And McDonald's have been doing likewise. Amazon do it. Amazon have a Prime membership, as you know, and if you're a member of that, you get incentives like free shipping and free movies and free music and all sorts of things. So my advice would be to a small business owner, if you are not skilled at marketing, then look at the most simplest way to draw a traffic to your business, and that is create a Happy Meal toy that you provide people when they buy your products or services, because that'll stop you looking like the other solar dealer down the road.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for highlighting that. I feel like that is like the icing on the cake for people who want to think outside the box, because some people say, hey, I need to charge you this amount because I need to fill it up to a point where I can't close the lid just because it's this amount. But some people feel like if I just charge you this and we spend this amount of hours and cover this much, then the value is even more, it's pretty much appreciated even at a higher value, because now I still got my time back and I have more than what I would have spent hours doing research on because I wasn't with you, you know?
Well, you're right. And look, at you know, to your point with regards to how do you scale, there's no excuse anymore because, look, AI is only 5 minutes old, so the whole world is going crazy on AI at the moment. However, even before AI, we could all you know, have staff in the Philippines or India or a lot of those places and scale tomorrow. I mean, the VAs, the virtual assistants, have been around for many years. And so therefore, for you and I, and we tend to sell our brain, so we tend to sell our IP as really our ideas and the way that we think, then we can't operate without assistants, you know, without virtual assistants and things like that, because that's the only way we can scale. I know that traditional butchers and bakers and candlestick makers might think, you know, does that relate to them? Yes, it does, because all of these people can do your bookwork behind the scenes and you can be spending more money on what you do best. But my advice, though, favour for any small business is collect data and follow the problem solution scenario. Because I can go into any restaurant where you are in Atlanta or where I am in Australia, I can walk into any restaurant tonight and they will let me spend $500 or $200 or whatever it might be, and will let me leave without collecting my data. That's the crazy, crazy thing. We have a restaurant in Melbourne, Australia called the Lobster Cave, and they are a client of mine, and they are the only restaurant in the world that is full 364 nights a year. Every single one of their seats, 180 seats, are full every night except Christmas, because they don't open at Christmas. And wow. Would you like me to tell you how we did that? Because it's really simple.
I'm ready.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell you. I just thought I'd tell you. I did the big build up, and then, you know, I'm a genius, and I would have liked you to have said, well, thank you, John, we're out of time, we're wrapping up right now, we don't want to hear about that. So what we did is that the guy that owns the restaurant, he's a lovely guy and he's a bit cheeky like us, and he said, well, I'm spending $500,000 on radio advertising in Melbourne. And I said, okay, well, let me have a look at your business. Very upmarket restaurant. I mean, the entrees start at $50, okay? So you've got Mercedes and BMWs outside the restaurant, very upmarket. But he was running at half capacity of 180 seats. And I said to him, listen, what we'll do is that we'll just give the waitresses 50 cents for every name and contact detail that they get. He went, what? I said, look, just give them a little piece of paper about the size of an ace of diamonds, like a pack of cards, and it would have win dinner for 60 of your friends at the end of the month. Just put your name, your email, and your phone number on the piece of paper. No app, because anyone over 45 is going to go, I don't know what you're talking about, right? Mm. So therefore, that's what we did. We incentivized, again, the word incentive, we incentivized the staff that every name and contact detail they got 50 cents. So can you imagine, when the waitress was putting the check on the table of four business people, she would actually give them a pen and wait for them to fill in that form with just simply their mobile number, their cell number, and their email address, and she'd pick up four times 50 cents. He's up to 92,000 on his database now. He used to never have anything. He never had a database, right? And I was there recently. He said to me, look, let me show you how this works. I gave him a series of text messages to send out every afternoon at 3 o'clock. And every afternoon at 3 o'clock, I was there to witness this. I was in his office and he yells out to his long-suffering secretary, Charlene, tell me, how many seats are vacant in tonight's restaurant? And she says, oh, look, 180 seats. We've only got 70 booked. He said, we've got 110 seats to fill. Send out text message number four that John put together for me. That's me. And that text message says, look, hi, Faber. Chef Pierre has a very special offer tonight, and that is a lobster tail meal for two for $79. It's only available for anyone who books in the next 10 minutes. She walks back in 10 minutes later because she sent out just 500 of these text messages and said, we're all full. There was no advertising. He didn't put any ads on the side of the bus. He cancelled all of his radio advertising. He saved himself $500,000 a year, and his turnover went from 3 to 6.4 million in the first 12 months. All it was collecting data and then communicating to that data or segments of that data every afternoon. And his whole business now is based on sending a text message, which gets 82% of texts open within 60 seconds. So therefore, he sends a text message out every afternoon at 3 o'clock to just part of that database. It might be 500 or 700, I can't remember. But even if he sends that text message out and there's still 10 seats left over, guess what? His secretary sends out another 50 or 60 or 100 text messages, and those 10 seats are filled within 10 minutes.
This is heavy, because the way you made it sound sounded so simple when they're hearing it, but the workflow behind it is all based on experience, because that 8-word message you send can fill up a whole stadium just because you spend 10 years understanding the consumer behavior. So it's different.
Well, Faber, can I just give you one more? I know we're probably out of time, but and this would be very helpful for anyone who spends money with Mark Zuckerberg and makes him rich, but they're not. Facebook, we approach Facebook and any social media platform, but let's say Facebook, pretty differently from anyone else. So I have, for example, and this is just a case study of one industry, but it happens to be an industry where they produce aluminium fences. Now, I think you pronounce it aluminum fences, okay? Now, his target audience are people who are living in an older home who have the old paneling wooden fence falling down. And what he would do is put an ad on Facebook and attract those people by saying, look, you live in an older suburb, you've got a wooden fence that's probably falling down, why don't you get an aluminum fence? And he said to me, it's not working. And I said, well, I know why, because when I looked at his ad, he showed a picture of an aluminum fence. And I said, you're showing the features, not the benefits. If features were to sell, the Jenny Craig weight loss program would run Facebook ads with a bowl of rice.
Right.
What you got to do to lose weight, right? No, they show the overweight lady, and then 4 weeks later, she looks like a supermodel. So it's got to be the before and after. You know. Anyway, cut a long story short, I said, do you want to get out of the way? We'll take it over. He said, yep. So we targeted, of course, the older suburbs in Facebook, demographically, and we actually had a picture of an old fence falling down, and it was a crappy old fence, wooden fence falling down, and we ran the ugliest back fence in Australia contest. we said that if you have an ugly back fence, take a photograph of it and post it to our Facebook page, and you're in the chance to win a $5,000 makeover of an aluminum fence. We spent $702 and had to stop the campaign after 3 days. He had 6 months worth of hot leads because we made them glow in the dark. We said, would you like to win an aluminium, or your pronunciation is aluminum, fence? They came out of the woodwork because they basically glowed in the dark. Not only did they put their hand up and say, please sell me a fence, but they actually sent him a photo of their crappy backyard fence. So he gave one away, which cost him $1,000 or $1,500 for the prize.
Wow.
But he ended up with 912 leads within 3 days, and that kept him busy for 6 months.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about. That's the power of marketing. Because when you say direct response, it's like, here's your target, and this is the response you get from your target, because your target audience is what you're looking for feedback. Instead of just filtering out on everybody, each of those cents can equate to a dollar that you can get back just based on one conversation.
Well, it is. And Faber, what we do now for all of our clients is run that contest formula on Facebook. So if it's a kitchen renovator, we say, would you like to win a kitchen renovation? Of course, everyone who enters that obviously has an ugly old kitchen. So they do one renovation, and then they end up with 500 or 1,000 other hot leads that they can ring up. And then they, and what we do is we put the vacation program with it. So when they ring them up and say, look, I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you didn't win the prize in our contest to win the kitchen renovation. But the good news is we have a special deal going at the moment for just $3,900. And if you get it by Friday, we will give you a free vacation to Vegas. Shut the gate. It's all over.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's direct, that's quick. I feel like this is something I think I want them to sit with, listen to, replay, internalize, and then practicalize it. Because all this good stuff you're listening to right now is amazing, but if we took the time to do this now, it means that we took the time to plan it then. So that's the same thing. I want to just challenge you listening to make sure you listen to what John is saying, listen to what I'm saying, and just don't ignore the facts. State the facts and solve the problem, and you'll be much further than where you were in the beginning. And I just appreciate you for being here with us today, John. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people want to maybe connect with you or just learn, or maybe even pick your brain and say, hey, I want to just have a session and maybe meet you in Australia, you know, for a weekend, you know, or a month. You never know. But, you know, things are, at this point, anything is possible. So how would they connect with you, and what are the options they have available?
Look, I can't tell you, Faber, because I've got so much money I don't need anymore, so therefore I won't give out any contact details. I've always wanted to say that. I just always wanted to say that. completely untrue. Don't you love these seminars? I do seminars too, but you've got to love these seminar speakers, because they say, oh, look, I've got so much money, and I've got the castle in England, and I've got the Miss World wife, and I've got the Lamborghini. I'm only doing this seminar to give back. Look, thank you, Faber. The world's a global village now, so we have lots of clients in America and Europe and all sorts of places, so therefore I'd be more than happy to speak to anyone. My name is, as you know, John Dwyer, but my business is called The Institute of Wow, so therefore the website is theinstituteofwow.com. And if you don't mind me plugging the vacation program, if anyone's interested in that, because it's a pretty clever packaged promotion that can apply to just about any business. If you're looking for a Happy Meal toy to give away with your products or services, and you know, attract more people because of it, just go to vacationsincentive.com. So that's our American website. It's vacations, plural. So it's vacationsincentive.com.
Thank you so much. And if you guys are looking for that link, you know where to find it. It's in the show notes. Make sure you click on it, because I always make that available so you can click through it and make sure you take that action today as you're listening right now. So thank you so much, John, for your time. I appreciate you. And I definitely look forward to bringing you back on the We Don't Play podcast show soon.
My pleasure. And can I just ask you a favor before we leave? I've got to give you a dad joke. And what are they going to call Bob the Builder when he retires?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. Tell me.
Bob.
Wow. I see what you mean.
My My six millennial children would absolutely cringe when I do dad jokes. What are they going to call Bob the Builder when he retires? And of course, the answer is Bob. And the only other one that everyone at any of my seminars hates me for is I say, did you hear this morning in Hollywood the famous actress got stabbed? And they go, oh God, who was it? And I said, it was on the news, Reese. And of course, they go, oh, Reese Witherspoon. I said, no, with a knife.
I love it.
We're ending on a low. I'm sorry.
It's perfect. I love this. This is one of the best episodes you can ever find on the internet because you get everything in one piece in just a couple of minutes. We're not even over 30 minutes plus. We're just tindering on 31, 32, and you've already gotten a whole package meal. So thank you so much, John. I appreciate you and definitely looking forward to bringing you back till we meet again.
My pleasure, David. My pleasure. All the best.
Thank you.